2023 prospect Austin Novosad has continued to garner attention now with offers from Ohio State and Texas A&M. He's been a hot topic on this show, and he's alongside 8 to 10 other commits that have come in the last 10 days. Recruiting's going nuts for Locked On Baylor. Let's try to tie it all together on Locked On Baylor.
You are Locked On Baylor, your daily podcast on the Baylor Bears, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everybody. Drake Toll here alongside John Garcia, Jr., Director of Recruiting at Sports Illustrated. Thanking you for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every single day. A lot to get into today, from 8 new commitments in the last 10 days for Baylor football and Austin Novosad collecting offer after offer after offer. And John, that's where I want to start. Now, Ohio State's been in the fold, but Texas A&M has jumped on board, and this whole deal just got even more dangerous for Baylor.
100%, Drake. I mean, look, it's different when it's in state. It's different when it's Jimbo Fisher. And look, A&M has been borderline desperate. They've been in scramble mode since losing their commitment, Eli Holstein, who is now committed to Alabama. They have made runs at Jaden Rashada. They have made runs at Dante Moore. They have made runs at a bevy of quarterbacks, but none in the state of Texas until now. So it was no surprise to see Novosad pick up the offer. He had told me privately weeks and weeks ago that A&M had been establishing and furthering the relationship there, but no offer had been extended and no visit had been set up. So I kind of overlooked it, to be honest. And then a couple of days before the weekend, boom, Novosad sets the official visit, and you're like, oh, here we go. He's going to get that offer while he's on campus. And certainly that's how it went down from Jimbo Fisher and company. Austin, coming out of that trip, is still committed to Baylor, where he took a trip the weekend prior and kind of reaffirmed some of the reasons why he committed in the first place. He was recruiting other guys, and the people there in Waco certainly resonated with him once again. And that's really the biggest selling factor to sticking with Baylor versus new relationships and new people at A&M and Ohio State, respectively. So this one's interesting. There's no timeline here. There's no real endpoint that we can mark other than signing day in mid-December, but that's a long ways away. So I do think that there's some understood angst from the Baylor fan base. I do think that there is a lot of solace in the fact that he is still verbally committed. He could have easily backed off early in June and said, hey, look, I'm going to take these visits, including Baylor, and see where I'm at, which would have totally been understandable. I think everybody would have said, okay, yeah, I mean, you're a kid who thought you were done, and then all of a sudden big brand names have come after you, so you take a step back, but he hasn't. So I do think that there is some solace in that fact, as well as the fact that he went back to Waco despite the familiarity, despite knowing all these recruits and coaches and all of those things. He still took the time with his family, no less, to get to Waco for that official visit, but certainly until he signs his name on the dotted line, there's going to be some worry from the Baylor fan base. But look, confident, chip on his shoulder kind of kid. There's a large chance here that he could potentially stick with the Bears despite those big offers. So we're going to track him here at the Elite 11 in Los Angeles. I'm sure he's ready for all the reporters to ask him about it. So curious to see how he handles that. But he's really handled it the right way throughout the process, which is kind of another sign of him potentially sticking. You know, I'm not trying to create optimism here, but I've been doing this over a decade, and quarterbacks who are on the verge of flipping either don't talk or don't talk about the school that they're committed to. Like Chris Parsons been committed to Florida State longer than Novosad's been committed to Baylor, and he's taken other visits and he's refusing to talk about Florida State for a reason in my mind. And most people expect him to move on from FSU eventually. So I do think, just apples to apples here, it's a different approach from Novosad, and that's something that should create some optimism or maintain it for the Baylor faithful.
John, the compliment it is to be recruited now by Ohio State and Texas A&M, those are not schools usually in the conversation with Baylor going after a guy, especially a quarterback. You're there to see him in the Elite 11 in Los Angeles. You've seen him in person before. Is he that level of quarterback, or is this a rebound for A&M or a fallback for Ohio State?
Well, the Ohio State quarterback room is really deep and loaded and talented, as it always is. So I do think that one, from a business perspective, from the Austin Novosad side, is a different option, right? You want to take a quarterback every year. You understand that at every school, but that room is extremely loaded. Even if CJ Stroud has the year we think he's going to have, or he moves on to the NFL, still a whole lot of talent behind it. I think A&M's different. Totally different scheme, much more pocket-based, much more conventional in nature with Jimbo Fisher. So the fit there with a kid like Novosad, who's known more for precision and accuracy in the intermediate levels than this huge arm or wowing athleticism, I think that becomes, combined with the fact that it's an in-state school, that becomes a little bit more worrisome. So you do wonder about that relative to Ohio State. And at Baylor, look, there's been attrition there too, unexpected attrition. So I do think there is a potential quicker path to playing time at a school like Baylor relative to the other. So it comes down to what the kid wants. I think when we talked to him in the spring, it was about relationships. It was about people. So I do think that is good for the Baylor perspective here. But I do think if his desires shift towards the field or schematics, I do think A&M could present something a little bit different than Baylor. I think Ohio State's in a class of its own at the quarterback position, and that creates a different kind of kid in terms of who you recruit to be the next guy, because you've got to have this combination of self-confidence and belief, which I do think Austin has, but you also have to have this realistic mentality of, it's probably going to take a minute for me to see the field, and that's where, in the modern age of recruiting quarterbacks, it's been hard. It's been hard to find that kid. And I think that's why a school like Ohio State doesn't have a quarterback committed in this class. And by the way, they've got the number one guy in next year's class already committed. So that creates a whole different mentality if you're going to pick the Buckeyes. So I do think there's some angles here for all these schools that make Austin Novosad either one that you feel really good about or not so much. And that's why I think there is some maybe growing or lingering optimism that he sticks this thing out with Baylor.
Before we actually get into some of these commitments that Baylor's picked up recently, I ask you this question every time you come on, and I'm going to ask it again. I struggle to convince myself that there's an answer that is good for Baylor and Baylor fans. That question is Ohio State, $92,000 in average NIL right now. Alabama, $167,000. Texas, $260,000. Another team in on Novosad, A&M, at $60,000. Baylor's at $10,700. John, help me make sense of why a caliber player like this would choose to take a $150,000 pay cut to go to not just Baylor, but any school.
It just depends on the kid. A lot of, I've been told by a lot of recruits that NIL hasn't come up as much as we think it has come up, whether it's on visits, whether it's just in general. It's not something that all of them are experiencing. That said, when you're a quarterback, it's different, right? You're the face of the program. If things are good, you get, more praise than maybe you should. So it is a different position in and of itself relative to NIL. But again, just talking to him and seeing kind of what he's about, I don't think that's the most important thing. It would be naive to say NIL is not a factor for anybody. But I do think that with certain prospects, look, NIL was prevalent in college football when Novosad picked Baylor in the first place, and he had other offers, right? So I do think that if that was a top two or three factor in terms of where he wanted to go to school, he probably wouldn't have picked Baylor in the first place. Does it change with other schools jumping in that have more tangible NIL value? Maybe, but it's still not going to be at the forefront of the conversation, in my opinion.
Say this, John. It has become such a hot topic for Baylor fans. You could probably put money right now on where Austin Novosad will end up or go. While you can't do that on Bet Online, you can do a lot of other stuff. John's not going anywhere, but I got to tell you about Bet Online, betonline.net, betonline.ag, which is your place. It's where the game starts. It's your place to go find any lines, any live sports betting, any of your betting needs, all at Bet Online. You can even look at futures for next college football season and see, hey, will Baylor win a Big 12 championship? Plus 400 odds. Put $10 on it. That's $10. Take $10, put it on it. You'll win 40 if Baylor wins the Big 12 title, which a lot of Baylor fans think they will. Four offensive linemen coming back. I like their odds. That's full plus 400. It's $10. You could turn it to 40. go do it. Bet online. At least look at it. See, you know, why not? Why not just at least check those lines for next season and futures in college football? And so much stuff going on right now. Live betting for MLB games as well. And the fights that are going on from UFC, MMA, all the fighting stuff that they do. You can bet on that. If you're that guy, I might not be, but you could be, and you can bet on it at betonline.net. It's where the game starts. Go check it out. Now, John, Austin Novosad, 10 days ago, retweeted a tweet from another Baylor recruit who has now committed, flipped a commitment from SMU to come to Baylor. That's Bryson Washington, who says that, you know, as a running back spot out of Franklin High School, Baylor's going to be his next home. And I think that's a huge pickup for Dave Aranda when you're looking at the idea of you just beat out another in-state school, granted not Power 5, but another in-state school for a three-star guy.
I think flips are different too, right? I mean, when you're changing the mind of a recruit who thought he was done, like we talked about with Novosad, that puts an extra emphasis or oomph into that win on the recruiting trail, especially when it's in state, like you mentioned. I did have to Google where Franklin, Texas was. I was not as familiar. But look, there's not that far from Waco or Dallas. No. So you can understand where his leanings were. And I do think you should get excited about Novosad retweeting it. Like I said, he's been consistent in recruiting and celebrating Baylor victories where there's been as many as any program in the country. I think only Texas Tech has more commits right now in America than the Baylor Bears. I think they've got 20. Northwestern has 20. And I think Notre Dame is in the 19 to 20 range as well. So you've got arguably the biggest class in America with a heavy Texas focus, and your class headlining Texas quarterback is publicly celebrating a flip of an in-state running back who you watch on tape and you're like, oh, I see why his profile is rising a little bit, right? Balanced kid who fits that modern scheme. I think he could be a change of pace type one way or the other, which is what SMU wants to do under Rhett Lashley. So he's interesting as well. I think he's one that could, like Novosad, see his recruitment continue to improve with a nice 2022 season. But look, I think front-facing-wise, Austin's done about what you could have expected at the highest level if you're a Baylor optimist. So that should, again, create some optimism or sustain that optimism going forward. But yeah, Baylor's flipping recruits. They're picking up uncommitted guys. They're going out of the region. They're in Louisiana. I mean, this is something that has been a snowball effect on the trail for Dave Aranda and company on both sides of the ball, which is not what you would conventionally expect at Baylor.
Another bout of bad news for SMU, a guy that committed a couple of days ago now, but it's like every 10 minutes someone is committing to Baylor over the course of the last week or so. And another one of those guys is DK Kalu, who's a defensive lineman, 6'2", 270. He's the son of an NFL player. And just to talk about, I mean, he's like brand new. To talk about a guy with NFL pedigree, his dad played in the NFL and is now actually a host at Locked On, which is pretty awesome. But it seems like the emphasis for Dave Aranda is on the DL, that spot in 23, because Jackson Player, Siaki Ika, those guys are getting up there and won't be here forever.
Yeah, and this is an inside-out type guy, and I love this type of recruit because this is what college football is moving towards, right? You need guys who can push the pocket from the interior, but not just as, you know, these massive Jordan Davis nose tackle or Siaki Ika type of nose tackle types, but you also need to counter to that, which is these 275-pound, almost overgrown defensive ends who just happen to play inside now. And I think these types can push the pocket with athleticism and quickness, not just power and leverage like we've seen from a conventional perspective. So you need balance in the future of your defensive line. And yeah, he committed like right before we came on today. So it's literally like every day, well, hey, a new commitment is in. I was just talking to Matt Galatson outside. We're here in LA for the Elite 11. And he's like, oh yeah, by the way, before you did this pod with Drake, another kid popped. So yeah, it is something that has become a daily thing. And now I guess Baylor does have at least a tie for the biggest recruiting class in America because Tech lost a kid today who flipped to Stanford. So it is – covering recruiting has been crazy in the month of June. I think just on Monday, more than two dozen kids committed to Power 5 schools. So that's just a random Monday in the month of June. So there's no more visits or anything. So kids are really starting to wind down with the decision-making process at the beginning of this dead period. And this week has wasted no time in changing the volume on a lot of these commitment lists.
You know, John, I have no rhyme or reason for which guys I'm tossing at you in what order, but there's one that I'm probably most curious about. Maybe not most excited about, but most curious, and it's LeVar Thornton Jr., a guy who is committed to Baylor that doesn't have a lot on his profile out there. And I know that you don't have a monopoly of knowledge on recruits. Like, you can't follow 3,000 guys across the country so closely. Is there anything you do know about a guy who committed to Baylor over Air Force or Army? Incarnate Word. It's kind of one of those random ones who's maybe a diamond in the rough that Dave Aranda likes.
This is the receiver, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched this tape and I was like, who is this kid? I hadn't heard of him before he committed to Baylor, but man, he really pushes vertically really well. Plays the ball at catch point at the apex on routine. You wonder if he's got some basketball in his background. I was really surprised at this get. And then, you look at Baylor with their recruiting style and you always expect something else, whether it's basketball, as I mentioned, track in this case. I think he was like a top finisher in the high jump or something. I mean, this is an interesting athletic profile get. And look, Baylor, even before Dave, especially receiver, has been doing this, right? This is kind of the sneaky program at developing, productive and super athletic wide receivers, obviously apexed at the combine there with Thornton. But this is something that I think we need to start to come to expect from Baylor. I think they're going to be more play action based and take more chances in the explosive passing game to balance out what we always expect to be a strong running game and a strong defense. So these are the type of guys we should expect to pick Baylor more and more as time goes on.
John, winding down this list, just a couple more guys to throw at you. This one kind of surprised me coming from Georgia. Baylor's recruiting footprint is not extensive in the state in football. It is in basketball. And Eric Mateo said, look, if Scott Drew can do it, I can do it as well. He goes and picks up 3-star recruit Sean Tompkins, who is out of Covington, Georgia, 6'4", 331 inside lineman, choosing Baylor over Florida and Kentucky. Now BU beating out some SEC schools, namely the Florida Gators, who do have a lot more pocket money for the NIL. This feels like kind of a random, but also a big pickup when you look at the scope of, hey, we beat you and you're in the bigger conference.
We've seen Baylor go, for offensive linemen in particular, go outside of the footprint. And you would think, you're in Texas, why do you even need to? But these guys have been contributors on the roster over the last few years. And a couple are coming back, as you mentioned, with this 2022 group. I think this Peach State prospect, though, he's got some old school in him. I think as much as we talk about the modern recruits who can do so many things, 3-down running backs, linebackers who can rush the passer. We just talked about a receiver who can play a bit above the rim and vertically. This is old school. This is leverage. This is point of attack, winning in a phone booth or the back alley type of interior offensive lineman. And we just talked about it. Baylor wants to run the football and work off of that thereafter. And I think in order to do that, obviously you need leverage monsters and guys who got a little bit of width to their game. And I think that's where this commitment comes in. And you're seeing counters even on the offensive line. You've got your 330 pounders like this, and then you've got your 300 pounders who are lighter, longer, who are going to play on the outside. So I do think that we're just seeing a nice mixture, especially in the trenches. And we know that's always been kind of priority one for Dave Aranda and Eric Mateos and company up front. You want to bring that SEC Big Ten mentality. That's where it's always begun. And I think that's part of the reason why the perception around Baylor and largely the Big 12 is starting to change, right? I mean, look at the title game last year. Two defensive-laden, tough teams that want to win there first and run the ball on top of it. So I do think that perception shift in the Big 12 is important because, it used to be kind of an afterthought where, you're going to go throw the ball 50 times. Cool. Nobody cares. But that has changed in the last few years, and Baylor's been at the forefront because of winning recruiting battles like this.
Two more guys, John. This one right here is the better of the two defensive linemen Baylor's picked up in the last 10 days or so. So DK Kalu, certainly on the top of the list in Texas, is one of the best defensive tackles. And across the way, who will be lining up beside him is Jaron Woods, who chose Baylor over Vanderbilt, Auburn, Cal, Houston, 6'4", 265. By most accounts, is a top 75 player in the state of Texas. From LaGrange, brings another addition the size factor on the D-line, even though 265, you might want to bulk up a bit.
Yeah, I think, you know, he plays like he's bigger. I mean, this I was looking at, like, this photo shoot he did, and his wingspan, my goodness, I almost thought he was an offensive tackle. I was like, you better watch out because they might move you over there. But you watch him play, and he's extremely quick for his size, a guy who maybe – thought earlier in his high school career, hey, I'm going to stay lean and be a defensive end, because we see a lot of quick twitch in his game. But obviously, he's gained some weight here, and he looks like he's going to project inside. We don't talk about length enough with interior defenders because, you know, usually you reserve those guys for the outside. But if you can extend on an interior blocker, you could really not only dictate where he's going and play the football in the run in particular, but you could also occupy more blockers and allow your linebackers to play free, your safeties to come down in the box and play a little bit more freely. So he's one that I don't view as an inside out guy. He's staying inside and you're just going to start packing on the pounds. I think he's going to play at 295, 300 pounds and be kind of this new age, taller interior defensive lineman, which is something we're seeing very much at the NFL level with the DeForest Buckners of the world. I think that's going to become a bit more of a trend. We used to always just throw those guys at offensive tackle from a position projection standpoint. Hey, you're too tall, you're too long, go block people. But we're seeing that trend start to go the other way with these taller interior guys. I think Calais Campbell was the first big one in the NFL. And since then, we've seen every year there's another guy or two that profiles that way. And I think that's where we could see this kid from LaGrange at the next level.
John, I know we got to get you out of here, but the last guy, I saved the best for last. I buried the lead here. He committed on June 25th. He's a four-star out of Houston, only 5'9", 175, but Tayshawn Wilson at the cornerback position, one of the top in the state of Texas, one of the top players overall in the Lone Star State, Longhorn, whatever it is, and chose Baylor over schools like Nebraska and Florida State.
Oh, man, I'm a sucker for small technical DBs, and that's where this kid makes his proverbial money. I mean, this kid is a leverage monster, incredibly quick and comfortable with the ball in the air, which is not something we talk about with 5'9 guys, right? It's usually your taller, longer wide receiver types who transition to DB. But this kid is extremely comfortable with the ball in the air, and he's explosive in his lower body, which creates, one, the ability to run, pretty important in the secondary, and two, the ability to play above the rim despite being 5'9", because that's the first thing you're going to ask, right? Well, hey, it's 2022. It's all about back shoulder balls and 50-50 balls and jump balls. How is this kid going to compete? But this kid's got the bunnies, as they say. And I love the technique he plays with on the front end of that. Always wins in the leverage department, knows when to trigger and transition out of his back pedal, and trusts his speed, which he's got plenty of at this stage. So I'm a big fan of his. I think he is kind of the sleeper of this class for Baylor. And you talk about a fit for Dave Aranda. You need nickel types. You need guys who can combat these smaller, shiftier receivers or even running backs out of the backfield. And I think that's where there's a really nice fit here. And he's willing to come up and fill the run as well, which is, again, not something you would think of conventionally with a 5'9 guy.
Well, John, thanks as always for joining Locked On Baylor today, and great stuff on both the Baylor guys, and I know you're covering the entire Big 12 and across the Power 5 and all conferences. Where can folks find your stuff as these recruits start to commit in groves?
Yeah, si.com/college is certainly .0 for that. But yeah, we're talking a lot on this here Locked On Network as well. So wherever you check in for college football, I'll probably be around there somewhere. So check us on social at SI All American, and my handle is John_Garcia_JR.
I love it. John, thanks again. And folks, thank you for listening. Come back on Monday as we'll bring you more from football recruiting. Crystal ball says like 7 more guys will have committed by then. So we'll see you there. This has been, as it always will be, Locked On Baylor.